This Do Lectures episode features startup advisor and advocate Annie Parker, recorded live at the global event in Victoria, Australia in 2015.
Okay, well, I've successfully managed first thing, which is to not fall over on the steps. So it's all going well so far. Good evening, everybody. My name's Annie. It's a pleasure to be here, and it's an absolute honor to kick off this year's Do Lectures. When Hamish and the team told me I was going to be first up, at that point, I took a rather large deep breath and went, are you sure? So I promise to do my very best to kick this off in the manner that we intend for Do Lectures to continue for the whole rest of the weekend. I'm going to talk to you about the concept of something that I hold very dear to myself, which is the ripple effect, or paying it forward. And the power of how much you pay it forward will then define the successes that you have in life. That might sound quite a grand claim, however, it absolutely is an extraordinary thing. It can change lives. It changed mine. So I will prove it to you by telling you about my story. This is Fred. This is my dog. I've missed her. I've not seen her for 10 days, so that's one of the reasons why she's on a slide, so I can actually get to see her. But also, you'll note that she's got her head on a table. She's actually on a train on the way into London. It was one of the very last days I had in my old job before I moved over to Australia. And I thought, I'm going to take the dog in the office. Why not? So I took the dog in the office, and there's me. I get on the train. It's like 9 o'clock in the morning. I missed rush hour deliberately. And Fred puts her head on the table, and everybody that walked past, every single person that walked past stopped. They may not have said something to me, but they smiled. And they walked away with a smile on their face. And some people did stop and have a chat and pat the dog and say hi and, oh, what's your dog's name, and have a little chat. But every single person stopped and walked away with a smile on their face. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if we all treated life like we were a dog on a train? Wouldn't it be great if we could, every single situation that we went into, that we just left it slightly better than when we found it? Even if it's just a smile, or if it's something where we can help people, or if it's something where we can make a significant contribution, paying it forward. So, now back to my story. When you think about how this concept of paying it forward, and I'm sure you've probably all seen the Hollywood film and all that kind of jazz. So this concept isn't new. It's actually quite a basic human instinct to help people. And what I've found through my last, certainly the last 4 or 5 years of my career, is every single time when I've helped people, it's come back to me tenfold. Probably more so. So that's why I'm really, really conscious of wanting to get this across to you guys this evening. And I think if you approach the rest of the Do Lectures with this in your minds, you will get a fantastic experience at the back end of it. So back to the story. I didn't stumble across finding my purpose and finding this thing that I'm so passionate about by accident. It took a long, hard slog. And it took a lot of failures to get there, a lot of mistakes that I made along the way to help me figure out exactly what it is that I love doing, the thing that will make me motivated every single time I bounce out of bed every morning. My early career was like many kids who graduate. They go, I have no idea what I want to be when I grow up. So, like many, I chose to be a management consultant. Okay, there's a few giggles in the audience. Over the years, I drifted between consulting and telco roles and things that I just sort of drifted from one to the next, where somebody else was like, oh, you should go do that next. And like somebody who didn't know what they wanted, I went, oh, okay, that sounds like a great idea. And off I trotted to go do that next thing. But then I finally drifted up in a marketing role at O2 in the UK. And for those of you who aren't from the UK, O2 is one of the largest telco providers over there. I'd never worked in marketing, hadn't got a clue. But they gave me the job anyway. And I thought, why not? And it got sold to me because nobody had been able to do this specific job before and fix the biggest problem they had in the business, which, for those of you who care, it was customer churn. At the time, their customer churn rates were through the roof. They'd had 5 or 6 different people to try and take on this challenge, and no one had fixed it. And I like a good challenge, so I said yes. And over the series of a long, hard slog of 5 years, me, my team, and the wonderful people around me managed to fix the problem. We fixed the unfixable. And along the way, it was a great journey of so the first few years where we were killing it. We were absolutely nailing the stats, and everybody was super pleased with us. And I got promoted 2 or 3 times and got to recruit amazing people around me. And for a while, that was enough. You do that kind of job for 5 years in a row, it starts to kind of get a little bit the same. It also starts to get a little bit obvious what the next step is. Then my boss decided that he was going to move on to a new role, and he basically said to me, Annie, the job's yours. You've done all of the right things you need to do to take this role. It's yours. At which point, inside, I cried. Because that's not me. That's not the path I want to take. That's not the thing that I want to do, the thing that will get me out of bed every day. But at the time, I still didn't know what else I wanted to do. In parallel, I also then got to go on a management training course, which might sound really dull, but actually it was one of the single best ever training courses I've ever been on in my life. It's run by a company called the Oxford Leadership Academy, which if any of you know, and I'm sure you'd back me up on saying it's one of the best training companies in the world. And it was a training course called Leading Self. Not how to be a leader at O2 or how to be a leader within your corporate, but Leading Self. Day one of this course, which is 4.5 days, day one of the course was to do a very simple exercise, and one that I encourage you all to do yourselves. It's really simple. Take a blank sheet of paper. On a vertical axis, put happiness. On a horizontal axis, put age. Plot out all of the major things that have happened in your life, the things that have made you happy or sad or indifferent. Plot them all out. There will be a grouping. There will be a trend in there. And it will be quite obvious to you, if you haven't figured it out already, it's probably something that is really deep-rooted to who you are and what you believe in. And for me, the thing that jumped out was not the, here are all of the commercial results I've delivered for O2 and here's all of the money that my shareholders have made. Oh, no. It was all of the people that I'd helped along the way, all of my staff members who managed to develop their careers onto the next job and the one after that and had progressed into wonderful positions. And then the other one was just each time I did something good and my mum and dad said, well done, that made me happy too. So I kind of thought, there's a theme here, guys. There's something I can do with this. I also shared it with a friend of mine who also worked in the Telefonica crew, and he looked at it and he said, now I know more about who you are and what you believe in. I have absolutely no earthly idea why you work for a corporate. At which point I'm starting to think, I'm probably not in the right job here. Still, I didn't quite know what I was going to do next. In parallel to all of this, I decided to fill the gap with a big life challenge. So I went off and climbed Mount Kilimanjaro. It's hard. It takes a lot of effort, a lot of planning, 9 months of focus, and got to give up your personal life because every weekend you're going to hike up and down mountains like an idiot. That's me at the top of Mount Kilimanjaro. The smile that I'm wearing is probably one of more exasperation, relief, and just general tiredness, because I can tell you the 200 meters before I actually got to the top, I was crying. Because I realized the thing that had taken my emotional energy for 9 months was over, and I had to go back to the job that I didn't love anymore. It was such an emotional moment that I actually thought when I saw that sign, because you can see it from about 500 meters away, I thought when I saw the sign I would have this massive adrenaline rush, that I'd run, that I'd sprint that last 200 meters. And I didn't. I sat down for half an hour because I didn't want it to end. But it did, and I had to do something about it. And this is the moment where everything changed. I got my phone out, and I quit my job. Because guess what? There is 3G coverage at the top of Mount Kilimanjaro. Who knew? And I quit. My boss received a text, responded back fairly quickly, and said, I think you might be a tiny bit emotional. Maybe you need to get back down first. But from that moment, things started to happen. I'd made a very vocal decision. I'd not just said it to myself. I'd said it to everyone around me, so I declared it to my brother and friends and everybody that was, doing the trek with me. I declared it to my bosses, I declared it to my team. I made it very clear that I was done and I wanted to do something else next. At that point, like I say, all these opportunities came my way, and a lot of the things that you see up on the screen now cover what I do now. That moment, though, when I said no to something, that's also a ripple effect. Ripple effects don't always have to be positive, as in I'm happy, clappy, come do what you want to do with me. It can also be I'm sending the message out that this isn't for me anymore, I need something new. After I made that decision, at least 5 or 6 different people within Telefonica started to offer me different roles. They weren't right for me, but it was nice. I asked for help. I went and spoke to as many different people as I possibly could to get different views, different ideas of what people think would be a good career choice for me. But here's the other moment. I had to decide this for myself. And I think it's something that we touched on earlier. We have to be in control of our own destiny in order to make sure it's the destiny we want. So I said no to a lot of things. And actually, just before I was about to leave Telefonica, they decided that they would launch a startup accelerator program and they needed some help to get it set up. So the guy that was running it asked if I would join for the first 6 weeks. That's all it was going to be. 6 weeks of setting up this new office in London, which is actually top right-hand corner of that slide. 18 months later, I was head of operations for the whole of Europe. I loved my job. Everything about it was directly me, my purpose, everything that I loved to do. Helping people be the best they could, helping businesses thrive, giving people a chance, that first chance on the rung of the ladder to see whether or not they can build a global, extraordinary business. Whilst in that job, by the way, never thought I'd ever leave it, one of the mentors that was hugely active in the London Academy, he came up to me and said, a friend of mine's visiting from overseas. Would you mind giving him a tour? Of course not. I gave the tour. 10 minutes later, I said, so who are you and what do you do? He said, oh, my name's Rick Ellis and I look after all things media and innovation at Telstra. I said, that's interesting. He said, yeah, we're looking at doing something similar. At which point I put my hand up and said, pick me. What a wonderful opportunity to help build a new extraordinary program from scratch. Build the DNA, build the brand, hire the team, all of that different stuff. I've met extraordinary people and had the opportunity to do things that I would never do. So the thing in the middle there, the thing that says story of a startup, we filmed the whole of the first year of our program and it got aired on Foxtel as a documentary in January. If you'd ever told me that that would be a possibility a year ago, I would have just laughed at you and said, well, that would be lovely, but you know, probably wouldn't happen. But it did. Along the way, I figured out that there was a gap in education here in Australia, that children aren't being taught code, and I find that equally fascinating and also massively scary, because all of the things that I do, all of the things that we invest in through Miru D, they're all startups, they're all entrepreneurs, and we all need those skills. And if we're not teaching the next generation of children how to work with the things that they touch and feel and use every day, that's frightening. So I started a non-profit business, and I thought, we'll figure it out as we go. And 6 months into the program, we'd got 15 schools up and running as a trial, and we'd helped at least 100 kids to learn how to code. 9 months later, Code Club Australia got funded by the Telstra Foundation with $500,000. We have over 60 clubs nationally, and over 1,000 children are learning how to code. You can do anything if you put your mind to it. You can do anything if you ask the right people for help. What I want you to remember from this, okay, sometimes saying no to things is the decision that helps you move forward and sends that ripple effect for new things to come into your life. If it doesn't feel right, don't be afraid to say, I need to move on. This isn't for me anymore. To create the ripple in the first place, someone needs to throw a stone. It could be you that does it yourself, like quitting at the top of Mount Kilimanjaro. It could be you asking for help from somebody else. And I guarantee you, if you ask for the help, 99% of the time it will come. And it will come with great passion, great help of positivity, and it will absolutely be something that people will be generous in giving to you. The other thing, though, is if you're getting all of that help, you do need to keep paying it forward yourself. I use that analogy of be the dog on a train, because if you can make somebody just smile or have a slightly better day than the one they had before you met them, what a wonderful thing you could do. And then the very last point, don't wait. Don't wait for it to be perfect. Don't wait for things to all fall into place, because life isn't quite like that. Do what you can with what you have. Start now. And my final quote for you guys: good things might come to those who wait, if you're really lucky, but the best things, the things that meet your heart's desire, come from the people who do, or come for the people who do. Thank you.
The Do Lectures is here to share stories of remarkable people in the hope they will inspire you to go and do amazing things too. There are over 300 talks to listen to, or if you prefer, watch on our website, thedolectures.com. Hit the subscribe button on your favourite podcast platform to get the latest episodes when they come out.